College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
New Orleans site of Super Bowl 59, Maggie and Perloff show in full effect, just really starting to get filled up here. And this is what happens as the week goes on. It starts to get crazier and crazier. And there's so much about this game, Pearl. Like, you don't even need to sell it. I know there's Chiefs fatigue, but they are on the doorstep of history. There is a lot at stake for Patrick Mahomes. I think there's a lot at stake for Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni. You don't want to be, as our boss Mike Eskin said earlier, our former boss, you don't want to be the team that loses twice during the three-peat. That's not good.
Yeah.
Someone else's three-peat.
But don't you get a little bit of house money vibe with the Eagles? Because this was not the year they were supposed to go here. I mean, after they fell apart in their Super Bowl hangover year, I don't see a lot of people were not picking the Eagles. Then they started out 2-2. You were ready to fire Nick Sirianni. So was I, yep. To be honest. I just think that it doesn't feel like, I'm sorry, a team like the Bills or the Ravens who have not, with Lamar Jackson, it feels like those teams would add a lot more pressure than the Eagles. Maybe I'm trying to rationalize this, but I know what you're saying. You definitely don't want to be like the Denver Broncos in the 80s or your Bills or the Vikings back in the 70s. But I don't think like the Eagles are really thinking like that, because I don't know that everyone thought they were going to be here. They're a very young defense. Like, they have two rookie cornerbacks. I don't know that they knew this was going to happen.
We put a poll out at Maggie and Pearl on X. Who has more at stake in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts? 65-35, it's Jalen Hurts. And I'm with the public on this one, 100%. Patrick Mahomes, it's almost like we're going for, like, the ultimate, the mountaintop. We're talking about Tom Brady. You know, Peter King joined us earlier, talked about nobody has been on a better run before the age of 30 as Patrick Mahomes. He blows everyone else out of the water. You know, we're going to have Brady Mahomes debates, I feel like, until the end of time. We had Brady Joe Montana debates, and then Brady kind of put a lot of distance between himself and Montana. Mm-hmm. Mahomes is right here on the coattails.
Definitely.
But for Jalen Hurts, you know, you might end up being like the answer to a trivia question if you don't play well in this game, and if maybe you don't win it. It's going to be who's the quarterback. Like, you know, I don't think Jalen Hurts is not on a Hall of Fame track. It's not, he's not going to go down as Patrick Mahomes' biggest rival. That's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. So for Hurts, he's got to play really great here and kind of be the difference, in my opinion, or else, again, I think he's a footnote.
Yeah,
that's
but
not
I
what
don't,
he wants to be.
You think of the great Super Bowl teams or the great legacies. I don't know that you really call out the teams they beat. Like the Steelers, I know, beat Roger Staubach, but their last one was over Vince Ferragamo. Like, nobody's like, man, Vince Ferragamo blew it. And I know that's not good to say, because that's saying Jalen Hurts is a Vince Ferragamo journeyman type, but I don't think it's the same as Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Because here's the bottom line. If Jalen Hurts Sunday throws for 120 yards, that is the best thing that could ever happen. That means the Eagles dominated the game on the ground and never had to go to the pass game.
Okay.
Like, what does that say?
Okay,
that means they don't want Jalen Hurts to throw the ball.
Okay, but here's the thing. You're envisioning that the script goes the way that the Eagles want it to go.
Right.
So he'd be a winner.
But he threw for 120 yards.
Well, you know, I don't think he's going to be in the Trent Dilfers and the Brad Johnsons by any
Those
stretch.
Guys threw for a lot more yards.
Well, but I think he at least would get the winner title. And I think he gets elevated in terms of, like, you know, where he stands amongst quarterbacks in this league. I don't think we're going to be talking about Jared Goff being better than him or anything like that if he can win a Super Bowl.
If he only throws for 130 yards, that's going to elevate him?
Because they would have won.
It will be known as the if that scenario plays out, it would be the Saquon Super Bowl.
855-212-4227. A couple more polls to update you on. Are handshakes out? You guys said yes. Public does not agree. 68% say no. They're not out. They're still in.
So you guys have been
fist bumping, giving elbows. Meanwhile, everyone else wants to shake your hand.
If we had worded it, what's better? Which would you rather do, a handshake or a fist bump? I bet you it's the germs. I mean, yes. I understand, like, there's something manly, like, teach your son how to have a firm handshake. But
yeah.
Think about it, like, shake my hand right now.
Yeah, I'll shake your hand. I'll gladly shake your hand, sir.
It's kind of gross.
Why? My hands haven't been anywhere weird. I
know where your hands have been this week.
Yeah.
They've been a lot of weird places.
Yeah, no kidding. I
mean, they've been on an alligator. They've been in a gigantic pile of crawfish.
Yeah, thank you. That was a kick save and a boot there because my hands have been a lot of weird places. I didn't just want that to linger.
I know. If you actually don't.
I'm a married woman. We did hold an alligator. That was bad. Not bad. It was just not for me. I wasn't a fan of that. You were great. You actually held Minnie, the 5.5-foot alligator, like by yourself. I had to do it with Mr. Richard.
My hands, I have cleaned them several times, but there are clothes in my hotel room now that smell like a combination of crawfish, alligator, emu. There are bizarre smells coming from my hotel room. Like, I feel bad for anyone who had to go in and clean up that room. It's like, what is that smell? That is a bearded dragon or something. I don't even know what animals were crawling all over me.
Yeah, that bearded dragon definitely got all up in you, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a lot. Anyway, what were we talking about? Handshakes. A lot of people think that they are still in. And then lastly, what's the more difficult feat? Brady winning 7 Super Bowls in his 23-year career or Patrick Mahomes capturing a three-peat? Right now, 61% say Brady with the 7 Super Bowls. The longevity is definitely winning out there.
It's kind of just math, Maggie.
Well, I mean, I'm never good at math, but I do think that the high peak of Mahomes doing something that even Brady couldn't do matters in this debate. So there you go. 855-212-4227. It is Wednesday, and you know what we do on Wednesdays. Hit it, Manny.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay, everyone ready to go? Let's do it. Today's Great Debate, as it is Super Bowl week, and we do these things based on the news. The most stunning Super Bowl moment. Stunning. Not greatest, not best. Stunning. Shocking. Alarming, if you will. More synonyms.
Can I start?
Yeah, of course, go.
I saw it the other day, and I relived it. It's the end of the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl. The Seahawks are coming down for what looks like the win, and Russell Wilson does this.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
That's courtesy NBC. I still can't believe that happened. I saw the pass. Al Michaels at first didn't know that it was intercepted. It was such a tight window. It wasn't the worst call I've ever seen, play call. But it definitely is going to haunt the Seahawks for decades.
It still has. I mean, ask Richard Sherman. He's got to be around here somewhere.
I know.
He's not over it.
Talking about it, how hard it is a three-peat. If you told me what team in the 2010s could have repeated it, it'd be the Seahawks, and they just fell apart. They should have had, you know, 3, not 4, not 5. They should have multiple rings. And that decision, I think, not only cost them that Super Bowl, cost them moving forward.
I'm going to go last today. EJ, why don't you go next? The most stunning Super Bowl moment of all time was what?
So I'm going to go to something that was not actually in the game. Super Bowl halftime performances always give us memorable moments, big stars, but I think everyone was shocked when this thing happened. Talk to me, I can't wait to get in my arms. Talk to me, hurry up, take it to go away. Talk to me, by the end of this song. So at the end of that song there for Janet Jackson, you had Justin Timberlake in their duet performance at the end of the show have a wardrobe malfunction where he pulled something off Janet Jackson's blouse and
calling all boobs.
There you go. So
that's where it started.
Exposure out for Janet Jackson, and this was a massive story. I mean, it literally inspired the creation for YouTube, because YouTube saw this and said, hey, we need to be able to capture these moments and have it up for everybody to see all the time. 150 million people saw Janet Jackson's one breast national TV.
Goodness,
on the
people.
Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know how we could think of stunning moments and we don't look at the Janet Jackson Super Bowl performance, the quote-unquote wardrobe malfunction, as the most stunning. There are still conspiracy theories today there are documentaries today coming out about what actually happened. Was it on purpose? Was it an accident? Janet claims it was. She bore the brunt for that. Her career changed drastically after that. So, yeah, to me, by far, this is the most stunning moment in Super Bowl history.
I had no idea this was the impetus for YouTube.
It sounds dubious to me. But,
you know, according to Us Weekly, in the search I did 30 seconds ago, that is...
Well, I mean, if Us Weekly says it. But, I, you know, I'm stunned that that is the moment that created YouTube, although I'm not stunned if you said, what would be the reasons why YouTube was created? Women's chest would have actually been pretty high on the list.
Yeah, it's the only thing that fuels any technological advances on it. What do you think the internet's about?
Yeah, guys, I know.
They didn't invent it so we could do online banking.
Guys, calling all boobs was the original YouTube tagline. That's where I got it from.
Yeah, yes, you should be getting royalties. Yeah. Where's Sergey to give you your giant check? Okay, we are asking. YouTube would have been grand opening, grand closing if it was Perloff. Anyway, kidding. Let's continue. A little sidetrack there. Most stunning Super Bowl moment. Manny, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I'll go next. My moment, well, molded me as a young man.
How many Super Bowls do you remember, Manny?
Four of them.
Five. Okay. They started with Mahomes.
Only the two giant wins.
Only the two giant wins. Funny you mentioned that, EJ, because when my stunning moment came from one of those two. You had Eli Manning just about dropped by the Patriots, and then, well, you know, Joe Buck.
Third down and five. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet.
Damn right.
Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
Oh, yeah. Endless excitement there out of Joe Buck.
That, yeah, way to sell it.
That play ended up, you know, leading to Plaxico Burress' touchdown in the first Giants Super Bowl that I watched in my lifetime. So the Giants beating the Patriots, David Tyree making that improbable catch.
It's a great one. We'll never forget it. Wait, Drunkle Sam is in the chat saying, did you know it was originally called U-Boob?
Yeah.
EJ.
Don't go to that search on your work computer.
We're doing the most stunning Super Bowl moments. So far, Perloff has said it was Malcolm Butler at the goal line. EJ went with Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. You just heard Manny with the David Tyree catch. Bogish, go ahead.
Maggie, my sweet, sweet Magsy, I swear to whomever that this is 95% for me.
Oh, get out of here, Bogish. Get out of here. If this isn't Mario Manningham.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
That's Jack Buck. That's 11-year-old me thinking the Giants are going to lose the Super Bowl. Wow. And then they didn't after they won the NFC Championship game on a last-second Matt Barr field goal. A lot of emotions. My first real Giant memories growing up. Sorry, Maggie, again, is them somehow winning this football game because Scott Norwood missed a 47-yard field goal, which today doesn't seem long, but in 1991, apparently it was like a 67-yard attempt. Because the call on TV was like, this is a long kick. And I'm like, it's 47, not 57, but okay.
My 97 brain cannot compute. What do you mean? A 47-yard field goal was considered 60 yards?
Yes.
You know,
that's true. No, that's absolutely true, Manny.
This is misinformation.
New kickers are crazy good.
You know, Bogish, you had a few more choices here. You know, like, I really thought you were going to go Mario Manningham.
I made a catch.
Mario Manningham.
You beat John Elway.
Not like this.
There was nothing shocking. If John Elway had won that game, that would have been shocking.
You're dead to me, Bogish. All right, let's finish it off.
But to be fair, for an 11-year-old Bogus, you weren't worried about the Bills. You're like, oh, the Bills have a great team. They'll be back. They'll be back.
They were back.
They were back.
No, they were back.
Team is clearly going to break through at some point.
They can't lose. They've got Jim Kelly and
Thurman Thomas.
And
yeah.
Bruce Smith.
This is a small setback. I mean, they'll probably get their ring next year, if not that, the year after it.
It's been 75 years and we're still having this conversation.
I hate all of you. I thought that you guys were my friends, and it turns out you all suck.
One day they'll screw up a 4th-and-1 measurement.
Little did I know.
One day they'll have 13 seconds to work with, have a lead in the AFC Championship
game. All right,
game.
Guys. Got it. Got it.
It's weird that this is most surprising Super Bowl moments, and mine is a squib kick.
Yeah, thanks. What do you want next? The Music City Miracle from the wild card round? The great debate today is most stunning Super Bowl moments. So technically, Bogus's does count, but I just find that very mean. Anywho, let me finish off this one because I think it's only apropos that I go last here because my stunning Super Bowl moment was the greatest moment for the team in the town where we are today, which is New Orleans, Louisiana, and what a gutsy play call from Sean Payton. Let's hear it.
Onside kick to start the second half, and the ball bounces off the hands of a Colt, and it looks like the Saints had it for a second. How about this way to start the second half? And it's Saints football. They recover the onside kick.
How about that? Jim Nance, CBS. And so coming out of halftime, New Orleans is trailing Peyton Manning, 10-6 in the Colts. The Thomas Morstead onside kick. They actually wanted to do a fake punt there, apparently, but didn't love what they saw. Instead, they go with the onside kick. And then later, the Pierre Thomas 16-yard touchdown reception. And that gave them the lead. And they won the Super Bowl and kept Peyton from a ring. Now, he eventually got one by beating Rex Grossman and the Bears, but this was shocking that someone would have the stones to do an onside kick at a halftime, and because we're in New Orleans and it's such a great moment for this city, I thought that would be the most stunning moment.
I like it.
Yeah.
A little hometown cooking there.
Listen, New Orleans, knock on wood, been good to us so far, so we're having a great time.
And we were near alligators.
Yeah, we got a tour by someone who only had 6 fingers showing us an alligator farm.
And we're still here.
Okay, so there you go. That's our great debate for today, inspired by the Super Bowl. You are welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think was the most stunning Super Bowl moment. We're back in a minute. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. It is our pleasure to be joined by a former NFL defensive lineman, former Notre Dame alum, also radio and broadcaster Hall of Famer, now here on behalf of Stello by Dexcom to talk about diabetes and pre-diabetes. It is the great Mike Golic. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the intro. I enjoyed that.
Did I get it all? Yeah. And we said soon to be TikTok Hall of Famer.
Yes, you can find me on TikTok.
You've done it all. Okay, so it's actually only been 2 weeks since Notre Dame was in the national championship game. It doesn't feel like a month ago.
Boy, right to the heart you went, didn't you?
Well, everyone was rooting for Notre Dame. Like, that's a weird place for Notre Dame to be. You guys became likable.
It's amazing. It's because of Marcus Freeman, isn't it? I mean, Marcus Freeman, this young, good-looking, energetic coach who recruits incredibly well. Listen, my son Mike, who played in the national championship game in 2013, takes this stuff a lot harder. I was like, hey, you know, great year. I was at the game. We were all at the game. And I was like, great year. The next year could be better. We'll see. But it was a hell of a year for him. For a Notre Dame team that you think sometimes can get close to the top and then sometimes down. They get ripped on all the time for not being in a conference. But who's laughing now? They're split. Yeah. They're not splitting their 30 mil with anybody. So they're doing okay.
3D chess. That's what Notre Dame
plays. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, everyone else playing checkers.
Wait, is this the beginning of a run? It feels like that.
You know, it a lot of it seems to depend on the portal. Now, Notre Dame always said they will only minor in the portal. They won't major in the portal. They'll still live off of 18-year-old recruits out of high school. But the last 2 years, they've had a portal quarterback. Mm-hmm. 1 year, it didn't work with Sam Hartman, and this year, it did work with Riley Leonard. So we'll see next year. Do they bring in a portal guy? Is it C.J. Carr, who's a youngster there? Is it Steve Angeli, who was the backup and you know, did a great job when he came in at the end of the half of the previous game?
Mike Golic here with us on behalf of Stello by Dexcom, and we'll get to that in just a moment. You seem like you're happy to be in the national championship game. I thought you might be a little bit more down. There were some regrets from that game. Are you getting past it?
Yeah, there were some regrets. There were some questionable calls, but I'm not one though that hangs on it.
Got
I'm like,
it.
Great year. heck of a game. Good first drive. Great comeback in the end of the third and the fourth quarter. Yeah, do you make mistakes? Nobody plays the perfect game. I was bummed. But, no, I don't let it affect me from once I walked out of that place. I'm fine.
Well, that's because you have another of your former teams with a chance to win a championship here, Philadelphia Eagles. So I told you before the interview, your team came up. The discussion was about Myles Garrett. Now, he wants to trade out of Cleveland, and one of the teams that's making the list is the Philadelphia Eagles. And we had a guest said, if the Eagles got Myles Garrett, that would be the greatest line since the Jerome Brown, Reggie White line. I mean, and I said, you mean the Mike Golick line?
Let me tell you what, if Myles Garrett goes to Philadelphia, the executive of the year should be named after Howie Roseman. Yeah. I mean, it would be unbelievable. But listen, do I think that line would be as good? I'm pretty partial to
Reggie. Is that the best line ever?
Well, the reason why it could be, and listen, it's because of Reggie, Jerome, and Clyde. Clyde is so underrated for what he did. We never won his title. Mm. You know what? A lot of times you rate on after winning a title. Like when I don't put our defense up as one of the greatest of 1 year of all time, people get mad at me. I'm like, it's tough because the Bears won in 85. Baltimore won a title with a great defense. Tampa Bay won a title with a great defense. We never won a title. Mm. But that doesn't take away from the great players that we had. And I would think a team would have to go a long way to beat those three guys on that defensive line.
Well, we got a 30 for 30 on the New York Sack Exchange. I feel like we need a 30 for 30 about you guys. Mike Golick is here with us on set. You know, your Philadelphia career came up a second time this week, Pearl. I thought that's what you were going to talk about. We're talking about the idea that Saquon Barkley may go down as the greatest free agent signing of all time. But I think Reggie White, when he went to go to Green Bay, was the greatest free agent signing of all time. And I know, obviously, how close you were to Reggie.
I would say Reggie was the great, and also the first, right? It was the first year of free agency. There were 11 of us that were free agents, and all of us left Philly. They didn't want any of us back, which was stunning. They didn't want Reggie back. And the amazing thing is Reggie signed like a 5 or 6 year deal for like $17 million, which is laughable nowadays,
backup
right?
Quarterback, it's
laughable
money.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Reggie, it will go a ways until there's a better free agent pickup than Reggie White. He obviously paid off with a Super Bowl victory and is considered the greatest at all time of the position he played. So that's a tough hill to climb.
And jog our memory, where did you sign?
I signed with the Miami Dolphins, along with Ron Heller, Keith Byers, and Keith Jackson. There were four of us that ended up down there. We were 9-2, 11 games in, had the best record in the league. Dan Marino tore his Achilles in the pocket. With nobody around him, we all stood there in stunned disbelief like we did in 91 when Randall Cunningham got his knee blown out, and we lost the rest of the games my last year playing and didn't make the playoffs. So I went out with a wah-wah.
If quarterbacks see you coming, they have to run for cover. Mike Golick is here with us on behalf of Cello by Dexcom, and this is interesting because it's about diabetes and pre-diabetes. You know, I listened to Mike and Mike for so long. You guys were a huge part of my life. And I feel like because of that, I knew a lot about you. I didn't know that you were diagnosed with diabetes in your 40s.
Yeah, my 40s, like 20 years ago when I was 42. I'm 62 now. My father had it as well. And, you know, the way of checking your blood sugar would be to, you know, stick your finger with a pin or get a glucose monitor that was prescribed to you. Now, Stelo is the first FDA-approved glucose biosensor that you can get over the counter. Mm. So any of the 125 million people who have type 2 diabetes or are pre-diabetic can just go buy one. It's a sensor. It's on the back of my arm. It attaches to an app, and it gives me 24/7 reading of my numbers. It gets affected by food, by sleep, by workout. It's like having a day round, minute by minute account of my health. It's like a health advisor. So if I, instead of pricking my finger 100 times a day, you know, I just leave this on and it gives me 24/7 readings. It's a lifesaver.
Well, you look great.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Is this a common problem? You know, there's some very big linemen in the NFL.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And when you're done playing, it's like, okay, what direction do you go?
Like
when I first retired, I retired at 32. I weighed 300 pounds of what was I considered good weight, playing weight. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't play for a couple years after that. All of a sudden, I was like 318, and it was bad weight. It looked like a vanilla milkshake. and I needed to lose weight. And years after that, I found out I was diabetic. So that really kind of changed my lifestyle of getting the readings, and that's the way I have been living. And Stello.com is where you can get the info for it, has helped incredibly. It's really given me peace of mind.
Yep.
I don't have to do the work. I just have to take the readings and kind of base everything around that.
And honestly, this is the day and age we live in. It's
yes,
in every part of our life,
exactly,
where you get
right,
all the yep, data. Like we talk about analytics in sports.
Exactly,
you can
right,
track every step you're taking, yep, and all of that. So we're so glad you have it. You know, you obviously known for your palate.
Yes. You
still got to live.
Listen, I've had beignets down here already.
Good.
I just don't have as many as I normally would.
Everything in moderation.
Exactly right.
So if you're going Philadelphia food versus Kansas City food as the matchup here.
Wow.
So everyone can ask you about the X's and O's, Mike. We really want to get the real
stuff. You know what? I have not been asked that question. That is a great
Ladies
question.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's
my
a Hall of Fame
here
question
is done
right there.
Maybe one day I'll be next to you.
That's cheesesteak or barbecue? Wow. My mind is blown on that. You know what? Shockingly enough, I think I would take the cheesesteak.
Yeah.
There's no wrong answer.
There isn't. And by the way, when I played in Kansas City, when I was a visitor to Kansas City playing, best smelling stadium in the league, and fans, when we left to go on the bus to go to the airport, would give us barbecue. I mean, they were the nicest fans.
And now they're the villains of the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs.
My mouth's watering now. Look what you've done.
In Philly, they would throw the cheesesteak.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
They would give it to him, but they'd throw it to him.
And tell you a few words along the way.
Yeah,
that's
take
true.
This bleeping cheesesteak.
Yeah, that's
right
very
at your
true.
Head. A couple of batteries maybe tucked in there.
That's a great question. Wow, that's a really good question.
Listen, if I've impressed Mike Golic today, then my work here is done, Perloff. I'm going to take the rest of the day off. Mike, thank you so much. Stello by Dexcom. Go check it out. Appreciate
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Excellent stuff. Time now for your Infinity Sports Minute with the Bogeyman, Andrew Bogish.
What is happening right now?
All aboard!
Am I supposed to talk still? What's happening?
All right,
take it away, bro.
Go. Headlines.
No. Tomorrow afternoon
take it away.
Is the NBA trade
All
deadline.
Aboard!
I've got a gator in my hand.
Is that what that is?
That's what you call it.
We need a Jimmy Butler resolution by tomorrow afternoon, and we maybe get another KD move. The Suns reportedly listening to offers for Kevin Durant, with the team stuck around the 500 mark. Luka Doncic, meanwhile, on the Laker bench for last night's 122-97 rout of the Clippers in their new building, and Anthony Davis watched the Mavs lose in Philly, 118-116. Dallas now 0-2 since the trade. Kyrie Irving still working through the divorce.
Just really shocked, and you know, you just don't imagine that you're going to get ready to go to sleep and then you find out news like that. You know, so it's still a grieving process right now. Miss my hermano.
By the way, Joel Embiid was back for the Sixers last night. First game in a month, 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists.
So wait, Kyrie is upset. Luka looks sad. LeBron was shocked. Who wanted this trade? I don't understand.
Nico. Like,
what?
Yeah, Nico Harris and Rob Pelinka both wanted this.
Well, Rob Pelinka definitely wanted it.
Definitely. We just shocked Andrew Bogish there a little bit. I love that Kyrie, it's like, you could also just get a trade the old-fashioned way, like I did, which is plant it with Shams Charania that you want out and then see what happens.
The Celtics won an Eastern Conference showdown 112-105 in Cleveland. The Knicks 121-115 winners in Toronto. And the Rockets gave one away in Brooklyn.
9.5 seconds to go. Whips it out top. Johnson a deep three. It's good with 6.9. Cuts the lead to one. Rockets inbounding, turn it over. Nets a steal, Russell a three. Good! With 3.4, Nets take the lead. Wow!
Chris Carino on WFAN. The Nets two threes in 4.7 seconds to steal a 99-97 win from the Rockets, who have now dropped four in a row from Brooklyn to Manhattan and a red-hot St. John's.
Richmond bounces at the Scott. Pazubi ahead of the field is RJ, and he dunks it with two hands. RJ Lewis.
Beautiful.
And St. John's goes up by 8, 68-60.
John Minko, Brandon Tierney on Learfield. Number 12, St. John's alone atop the Big East after downing number 11, Marquette, 70-64 at the Garden. The Johnnies have won 9 straight, their longest win streak since the 84-85 season. Top-ranked Auburn handled Oklahoma 98-70, and number 14 Kentucky took a 98-84 beating that number 25 Ole Miss. Those Rebs led by 23 at halftime. Maggie Sabres have their first four-game win streak since January of 2023, courtesy of a 3-2 win over Columbus. And Alex Ovechkin scored career goal number 878 into an empty net in the Caps 6-3 win over the Panthers. He's now 17 away from having the most goals all time. Guys, back to you.
Perloff, you are also rooting against the Sabres. Just yeah.
Apparently, every team I root for, Perloff has been rooting against. I think even the GW Colonials are probably in
Revolutionaries.
Your sights. I'm sorry, yes, not Colonials. What's my alma mater called?
The Revolutionaries.
Yeah, they changed it. That's fine.
Let's be honest. I don't think the Sabres want the Sabres to have any success.
Do you know the Flyers beat the Sabres to win a Stanley Cup in 1970-something?
It's amazing you just pulled that right out.
I know. By the way, I have to double check that one. Bogus, you're the hockey guy. That's accurate, right?
Yeah. They're not both in the East.
Oh.
No, back then it didn't work like that.
Ah.
Okay, speaking of just pulling out random facts out of your behind. So there's a video that's circulating right now of a kid who's in college. And apparently, we didn't verify if this is true, but he's sitting in a class, and the professor said that if he can name every team to win the NBA title, starting with 2024 and going all the way back to the 40s, if he can do them all in a row off of his memory, he'd get an A in the class, or 100 on the test, or whatever it was. And so then he does it. And you see him going back. It's like Warriors, Spurs, yeah. You know, and he does the whole thing, going all the way back to the Rochester Royals.
Amazing.
Or whatever, and St. Louis.
Who?
But do you think that, is that a skill? Or is that just you have this unreal memory and you are able, you just memorized it?
Or is that just incredible. A lot of time on Wikipedia?
No, I mean, no.
He clearly has like a photographic memory.
Let me ask you guys a question. I don't know if you all watch it. I watch it. And it's hard to tell because I just saw it. But I think I could have gotten back to maybe 1989, 1990.
There's no way you would have gotten. You can't.
I guess,
do this
it's
at
so
all.
Easy. It's actually, if you think about it, the only part where it gets really confusing is which was the Lakers and which was the Celtics. But you know, because Jordan won a ton.
Mm. Okay, do it now. How many can you get to?
Well, okay.
Hold on one sec. Let me pull it up to make sure that you're right.
I don't even know who won last year. I can't remember.
It was the Celtics. We'll give them that one.
I think.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get confused in the 2000s.
Okay, hold on.
EJ and I can tag team it. How about that?
Okay, that's fine. And they'll see if you get an A on the test. But first, let me pull it up. Okay, I got the list of NBA champions. No Googling, guys.
I was just looking at the time. Okay.
Hold on. Wait. This goes. Don't look.
Oh, yeah, I did look. Okay.
Get out of here. You cheat.
I was just seeing like how long you're going to need to get this.
Okay, go.
Okay, well, obviously, the Celtics beat the Mavs last year. The Nuggets beat the Heat before that. The Warriors beat the Celtics.
Yep.
The Bucks beat the Suns.
Yep.
The Lakers, beat the Heat. The Raptors The Raptors beat the Warriors. The Warriors won in 18 and 17. Mm-hmm. LeBron and the Cavs won the year before that. The Warriors before that. The Spurs won the one before that. Two Heat. Mm-hmm. The Mavs beat the Heat. Mm-hmm. 2010, Lakers. 2008, Paul Pierce, Celtics. 2007, Paul Pierce, Celtics. So the was that? Oh, geez, it was.
So
oh, the Spurs, and then the year before that was the Shaq Heat. The year before that it was the Spurs. Then it was, then it was Lakers.
You're up to 2004.
Yeah, 2000.
Pistons.
Oh right. Oh, Larry Brown Pistons.
Correct.
Lakers, 3.
No.
2003,
you're out.
2003.
Done.
So 2003 is the Spurs.
EJ, pick it up. Now EJ, go from there.
2003, Spurs.
Failed.
2002.
That's the Lakers.
Lakers. 99, Spurs. 98, Bulls. 97, Bulls. 96, Bulls. 95, Rockets. 94, Rockets. 93 Bulls, 92 Bulls, 91 Bulls, 90 Pistons, 89 Pistons, 88 Lakers, 87 Lakers, 86 Celtics, 85 Lakers.
Yep.
84 Celtics.
Yep.
83 Sixers. 82 Lakers.
You're right.
81 Celtics.
Yep.
80, Lakers.
Correct.
Okay, 79. I can.
All right, now back to Perloff. Whoa, they're really doing it.
79. Now I got to get my remember who won first. It was Washington and Seattle went back to back. Oh, I'm gonna have to take a wild guess here.
Wait, EJ knows it.
Seattle.
Seattle, then Washington.
Okay. Correct. Correct.
77 was the Blazers.
Yep.
76 was the. Oh God, which one was the was? Is the Warriors or the Celtics, right?
Oh, I forgot the Warriors. Yeah. I think it might be the Warriors.
The one year was, let's
1976.
Guess.
Who won the NBA title? You guys are really impressing me. I mean, this is pretty wild.
And look at the group Warriors forming.
Warriors 76 and Celtics 75.
That sounds right.
We're gonna go Warriors 70. Is that right?
1976. Wrong. It was the Boston Celtics. 75 was the Warriors.
Wait,
you guys. I mean, wildly impressive.
Wait, what's and
you want to keep going? I mean,
no.
Lost,
74
but.
Was
74. Did they have the
NBA? I don't
NBA?
Even know who 74 was.
74. I don't even. 73
that's
was
where,
73 was the Knicks, right?
Yeah,
73
baby.
Was Nick. Yeah. I'm
so 74 is the Boston Celtics.
So when it down, it's the Celtics or the Spurs. Right. You know what?
Well those, done, guys. Well
those
done.
Those Spurs teams were so forgettable in 2000. I knew they were going to trip me up because they had a Tom Brady like run where they hung out for about 15 Wait, years at one time.
2003 you did get
had
tripped
me, like,
up
old,
though. You got
had
it.
Me held for a second.
Super Bowls, we all can do a long way because once you get in a rhythm of Super Bowls, it jogs your memory. Like we could all go a really, really long.
We may
way.
Need to do like a. We need to be a tag team.
I think
NBA
we need
trivia.
To do our own video oh, for this.
I think we could do. Oh, by the way, and EJ yeah. are both draft Knicks.
Oh, that's true, too.
He's a little better modern one because I've never heard of some of these guys who get drafted out of overtime elite. But
Cooper Flagg.
Wait, Cooper what about Cupp, his mom?
Cooper Cupp, second round Eastern Washington.
Two-Tone Tony says that Manny's telling EJ with his headphones. He's not telling me anything.
No.
And
we
first of all,
heard
we're
that.
All on the same feed, so Maggie would hear
it. I would have heard
yeah,
it. They
so
can't.
No.
He can't just talk to EJ.
But we did see this video on Instagram last night. That is,
I didn't see it.
So oh, you didn't see it?
I didn't see it.
I saw it, so that helped.
Okay. Well, yeah. At least you admit it. I was still very impressed. I don't think I would have been able to do
that. That guy knew the Minnesota Lakers and the Rochester Royals.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Back-to-back titles
he
apparently with
that.
The Royals.
And Maggie said, is this an important skill? I'm like, this man should be president of the United States.
You didn't say that.
He was crazy impressive. Well, he had no like heads up. Like I knew this was a thing.
Okay, but here's the thing. I get that this is impressive beyond what you guys just did was impressive, but he clearly has some kind of photographic memory to get all the way back there, right? If you just have
might.
A photographic memory, is that a skill, or are you just blessed?
No, that's a
with
huge
something.
Skill.
But he didn't have to learn anything to earn this skill. Or let's just say it's a photographic memory. You're born with that, right?
Right. So what do you mean?
So it's not a skill. A skill is something you acquire.
So Michael
like
Jordan
being able to play golf.
Michael Jordan was born with the ability to jump 48 inches in the air. That's a skill.
But he also had to hone it. Oh. Like he had to work out. If he had ate potato chips on the couch for, you know, his first 18 years of his life, he wouldn't have been able to do it.
Michael Jordan flew out of the womb. No, of course not. Yeah, having a photographic memory. Having a photographic memory is an important, that's a skill. No, that's not.
Can you put it on the poll? Is having a photographic memory a skill?
It's a great skill. It'll get you very far in life.
Yeah, but I guess I think of a skill as something you have to learn. Work for. If you're born with a photographic memory, you just
he's got,
have it. It's like being able to breathe.
Oh, I think of it more like he has incredible skills, and it doesn't differentiate whether that was honed or
right.
God-given.
There we go. All right, well, 855-212-4227. That was really impressive, guys. Kudos to you. Lots more to do with us, including a surprise superstar on the trade block. I thought that we were done with these blockbuster deals.
Yeah.
Apparently not. We'll get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff here in New Orleans. Our great debate today was the most stunning Super Bowl moments of all time. You have a poll on that, EJ? Stunning Super Bowl moments? Grab that in just a moment. In the break, we're recording a video of Perloff with an assist by EJ trying to name every Super Bowl winner starting with last year and going all the way back to Super Bowl I.
By the way, I don't think we put that video out because even I was bored about by 1996. I was like, oh, this is getting boring.
Well, we got to like 1983 and then we had to come back on. Our break was over, so we had to come back on the air.
It's actually, Super Bowls are pretty, a lot easier than NBA. We were talking about it. He's a guy and he's got an A in his class if he could name every NBA title. That dude knew like Rochester in 47. The Super Bowl only started in the 60s. So
right.
It gives you an advantage. Like, if we had to do NFL championships, we'd have no idea.
Yeah, right. No, going all the way. Well, I mean, it's still back pretty far into the 60s.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the first bunch of Super Bowls were so iconic that everybody knows
remember them all.
Although there's a, you know, Minnesota lost a lot of them. I can't remember who they lost all of them. I think we might get confused on the years in the 70s and 80s.
Let's go quickly to the phones. 855-212-4227. Dominic is in San Francisco. The most stunning Super Bowl moment was what?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hard to condense this down to a moment, but when the clock hit all zeros at the end of the fourth quarter and the Jets had beaten the Colts after the Colts were favored as much as by like 18, that had to be real stunning. And it was at the time.
Absolutely. Joe Namath, I mean, the legend of Broadway Joe written right there, and the fact that he beat, Johnny Unitas, right? And
history.
Huge. And got Joe Namath, obviously, into the Hall of Fame.
That's actually the right answer.
If you look at his numbers. We asked for stunning moments. You went with Malcolm Butler at the goal line.
Yeah.
Just everyone and their mom thought that the Seahawks were going to be scoring there.
Right.
I went with Sean Payton declaring, doing an onside kick, a successful onside kick, when the Saints beat the Indianapolis Colts and kept Peyton Manning from winning his second Super Bowl ring, or delayed him from winning his second Super Bowl ring. We had two Giants moments from Manny and Bogish, both the David Tyree catch and Scott Norwood's wide right. And then EJ went with the off the field.
Yeah.
And a little off color, quite frankly. Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. Yes, we all remember it well. Apparently, it was the reason why YouTube was created.
And I said Us Weekly earlier, but also Rolling Stone did a long story about this.
So apparently. Rolling Stone, a little more reputable than Us Weekly, I would say. Said that this is why YouTube was created, so that everyone could see Janet Jackson's upper half.
Yeah. The Joe Namath one, that's the reason that basically the NFL and the AFL merged, and that, because of Joe Namath, the modern NFL was formed. So I think that's the right answer. I think that's a good one. We never think about that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, became a legend, that's for sure. We also had some rumors today, and you're welcome to keep it coming on the most stunning Super Bowl moments of all time. It looks like maybe another superstar could be on the trade block before tomorrow's NBA trade deadline. Now, this is not Jimmy Butler. We know he's been on available forever. But tell me the latest.
Oh, me. So sorry, I didn't know it was me. So, yeah, so Kevin Durant apparently on the trade block. Reportedly, the Rockets interested, and probably the Mavericks interested, which is a little surprising considering they just made a big trade for AD. And, of course, the Warriors also interested. So Kevin Durant on the block. Apparently, the Suns are making the decision if they can't get Jimmy Butler, then they might want to move on from Kevin Durant.
And pivot. The Warriors, to me, is fascinating.
To me, it's the Mavs. The Mavs did this trade, then lost their next two games, and they're out of the playoff standings. They need to be desperate. They can't not make the playoffs, so why not sell out the farm for KD?
But what did you just do? You had Luka. If Luka came back and was healthy, you don't think you're a playoff team? If Luka comes back?
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, I'm not saying that was the right call before. You got to salvage something out of this. If they go on a massive losing streak and don't make the playoffs, that is one of the, it's already one of the all-time bad trades. Then it's the worst trade ever.
Okay, but see, there's another part of this that Brian Windhorst brought this up, so I want to give him credit for it. Or at least it's the first place I saw it. Which, even if you wanted to trade Luka and you didn't want to give him the max, what a lot of teams could do is actually give you the max, and they can trade you on the max. And actually, that's very appealing to other teams because they have a guy who's already under contract.
And that guy gets the supermax.
Well, he can't get the supermax from the new team. Luka Doncic lost $100 million in this trade. That's the other thing no one's talking about. He's not eligible for the supermax with the Lakers because only the original team that drafted you is able to give you the supermax. They call it the Kevin Durant rule.
I have right, but could you sign him to the supermax and then trade him? Or does the supermax?
Yep.
Okay, so I would think that if they were making the supermax rule, they would have said if you sign this, you have to stay. You're saying basically you could trade him?
I don't think legally you could probably say that, but
The supermax is definitely.
That's just an incentive. It's just an incentive to say.
Right, to keep stars in their own.
In their local market.
But, would that be an easy out on the supermax? Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm putting that loophole.
Now, you can't trade a guy for a certain amount of time, right?
I think it's 6 months.
Yeah, because you don't want it to Carmelo Anthony. You can't do the sign extension and then trade the guy immediately.
Yeah.
So it would take, I think, up to the next season's like January, I think 18th of today, whatever it is.
It's kind of a Super Bowl tradition to have a crazy, we've already had our crazy NBA headline. We could get another one.
Man, if you watch that press conference with Luka Doncic when he got introduced as the new Lakers star, he looks like he just lost $100 million. I mean, he was slumped over on the chair. He was frowning. I think at one point he checked his watch, like the time. When you go to hold up the jerseys, everyone usually proudly holds up the jersey like across your chest. He had it low, like the cameras could barely see it.
Oh, oof. Poor guy. Yeah. Nobody wants this except the Mavs GM.
Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Bogish, Kaplan. Thank you to JT and Bobby, who are here with us. Dave Marinick, who's here with us as well. Did I forget anyone? Peter King, Mike Golick, Ryan Leaf, and Nate Tice. And thank you, Weedos.